Now, what do you say?
Pressure is greater than light and sound. Pressure is magnetism.
This is the attraction and repulsion.
Yeah.
Today we're starting out with Wednesday, the 18th.
I record something.
That light should be on.
Just record something.
Things aren't good for easy. I need to relax. You read. So, it depends on the signal. That's the tip for there. That was the type of signal.
Uneasy feeling.
I think they expect. Getting clammy. Feeling tired. Uneasy. Healthy creature. Like a bear. You don't. It's teaching you how to be aware in other levels of yourself. Don't act the same. You have to learn to work with it. If you depend on seeing all the time, it wouldn't work. So, sight is not the only way. You have five senses. And nature has to give you experience in all five senses. That's why you use a weekly weight and don't grumble. Weekly weight and don't grumble.
I got that message.
Because there are certain lessons to learn. It's required. That type of attitude. And there's not a way to learn it but that way. Whenever you tell the elementals to play somewhere else, it's a quick warning. You couldn't vouch for where it would go and provide that earthquake. But it'll have to be an earthquake somewhere else. You don't know. But it wouldn't be that quick. Instead of your area, it's somewhere else. But still that quick. You can't really, you have to. You're not going to see it. If it's coming your way, you modify your sentence. Because it's going to shut the door. That's not for you. That's why I say stars will tell, but they don't compel. You have to go through the practice. Of letting the thing do its own revelation. But you don't find, you don't refuse to face it.
There's one in Southern California, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Where, but LA area?
Mm-hmm.
Big? Five. You know, things on shows.
100 people may be in an incident. But each one of them has his own particular horoscope to retrieve for them. They come. You don't know who is living to live or living to die. They have their horoscope.
Well, since we're just in, well, we're in the transition time right now, most people are living to die because they don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're in the transition period, at this point in time, most people are living to die because they don't know any different. It's just, this is the way it is, always has been and will be, and they don't think any other way.
Yeah. You, the individual who has come to the understanding, isn't changing it. You have to wait to see it happen and work with it. Like that shogun, he couldn't go change the brigands were attacking.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wait till somebody accidentally threw a torch down in a place called the Fine River. That, mm-hmm.
That was the signal.
Signal for the other guy, but it wasn't the correct signal to make them a winner.
Mm.
It was a signal all right that there was a move, but it ended up they had been a loser. Prematurely came to change the attitude of the people involved.
Mm.
As a compensation.
So we can get a signal too early,
mm-hmm.
and then we go ahead and we follow through because mm-hmm. we've got our signal,
right.
But it was too soon.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to Ian last night? How did the movie end?
Take a guess. What part did you go out?
No. He's been attacked. He'd gotten a message from going to fight next April. That was last one.
And he went to the fight and he took his wooden sword. The other guy had the steel sword, but he also had his short one. And so he relied on the short one. And the wood one, and they're fighting, and he's waiting patiently for the right moment, seizing up the situation. They're sizing it up, and so the guy goes out, you know, and they're at the water and the beach, and he's backing up in the water, just kind of waiting. And then when the sun came up, then the other guy was facing the sun, and then he took his advantage, and he said, how did he word it, that the other guy was the best fencer that he had ever fought. He was the best one he had ever encountered.
Yeah. The other guy counted on his long sword and was vulnerable to holding it with both hands. He realized that he had faced that man but postponed the fighting because he wasn't prepared for that type of fight. So he made himself a long wooden sword equal to the distance of the other sword. But then he still had a short sword. So what was he fighting?
So what?
How was he fighting now?
At distance could also be him to attack. Inside.
No. He had the opportunity over the other guy by still holding on to his short sword in his hand while carrying the long wooden one at a distal position from the actual iron sword that the other offered man. The other man was holding his sword with both hands. That means he didn't have what?
I don't know. He doesn't have
a backup system if you swing and miss. What are you gonna do? The guy's got a big wooden sword and another sharp in his hand, holding both together like this. He wasn't holding like this to fight the guy. He was holding both like that. So when he swung the wooden one, he did like this. Yeah, the guy got right into that.
And the other guy was limited because he had to hold his sword with both hands.
He was counting on the length of his sword and the metal of his sword. He wasn't counting on the illusion that the other guy pulled off. The other guy pulled off an illusion of a long thing to fuel him that he got something little long, but here along the wooden story, he had a little short sword with both hands. He was like that. He caught him right in. By the time he could come down with both hands, he already got stuck. So it's more of a outguessing the other guy's defense mechanism, technique. See that the other guy had already demonstrated to him earlier, a year before, his capability of fencing, but they never did confront each other one-to-one. But they did look at each other. But he was just a man that having a big, long sword already. While he was holding the sword to defend himself, he figured out that he decided to come by way of a boat, which would make his body look like wearing that on the land. That's a hoppity hop kind of an expression. So you wouldn't be able to stumble. So, but that, no, he's having this long thing in his hand to the optical illusion of the other guy to his son. The other guy wouldn't suspect he had a second sword.
Jan's coming at 10 instead of 9. So.
The long wooden thing was what threw up the other guy. Because they're both the same length. They're never Dutch. But when they lift it up to swing, that's when you become vulnerable because you gotta do. So he just didn't went this way, caught him on the swing.
Their expressions, their facial expressions, I mean, it was just, they were beautiful.
Huh. When the moment of truth is being faced, you always have that grimness. Did I go, or did I guess right? That's always the expression that's left in your face. Did you goof or guess right?
Hmm.
Now, what is watercress?
So the winner always knows he guessed right, and the loser knew he goofed. But he spent his entire time learning different ways to make himself flexible under different circumstances. So each phase of the show, 1, 2, and 3, were different degree of flexibility of himself, instead of just being regimented into one thought pattern. He made himself flexible all along, that nothing was limiting to him. Even the idea that the man was the number one sword fencer, the long sword. He never saw anybody with a longer sword than this guy. But he didn't want to fight the guy a year before. He never carried anything long enough to wield in that manner. So what did he spend the whole year doing? What?
Training.
Whacking at things and getting overhead and working around in mud and bending to give his body the opportunity to outmaneuver that swinging condition of that type of fencer. So when they came to fight, he had his own little short sword along with the wooden sword as a decoy for the men. And he knew that the man wouldn't be carrying a short sword because the man depended upon holding the sword with both hands to do the swing. He was very alert to see all these things already to assess them. That's what I like about him. He didn't panic in no form. He just prepared himself to face the situation that came up.
Well, the women were sure drawn to him.
Wish I had his problems.
Woo. We'll go back to solar at lunchtime, though. I enjoy that much more.
Well, if you were in England, this is what they serve you now.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Graham. Pamela is going to see that I get a water filter. Like you have and the one that she has, she's going to send me one so that I don't have to buy the distilled water. It'll be on my faucet. So,
ooh.
Pam, she's going to send one to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jody? Just let cleanup go until his appointment gets here at 10. We'll just take it off the table and then we can put it away later.
Who's coming next?
Jan will be here at 10. And Elise will be here at 12.
That's right.
So we've got.
Yeah. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I think I built an awful lot of immunity in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I built a lot of immunity in the past one and learned a lot of flexibility. And learned that I didn't need to sleep. I mean, I was up in the middle of the night with him and we went to the hospital in the middle of the night. And he'd say afterward, oh, how tired he was, and he had to catch up on all the sleep he'd lost. And I'd just go on about my business and continue with the next thing. It was great. And he'd have to take a nap or go to bed early the next night, and I'd just do the... what I would have done anyway. It was wonderful to see that work, you know, on demand when it was needed. But it was just no sleep needed. Didn't feel tired. On Monday morning, I saw somebody, now I got a call from a man that I went to school with from kindergarten right through fourth grade. I hadn't seen him in probably 10, 12 years, and he was in town and wanted to see me. It was just, it was real interesting to see somebody from my childhood that I hadn't seen in so very long.
Small world.
Yeah. And he did all the talking. He asked me one question when I first got there, and after that he did all the talking. And so it was strange. Just listened, nodded appropriately. And
what are you doing? Question number one.
That's what he asked me.
What are you doing?
Eating my
way to butterfly hood.
I've had a bad habit up to this point all of my life.
Lucky thing you. And look at that habit, it's so great.
Yep. And this one I am, at this point, finally ready to face and ready to let go of completely and accept full responsibility for. I will no longer tolerate it. It may not be fair.
But the happy I am, they'll have a hit.
I didn't understand that. A habit is you bite off half.
You didn't bit the whole thing.
No.
It would choke you if you bit the whole thing.
So you've got half of it in your mouth and the other half of you looking at the anguish. What did I do this for? Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Thank you. It could have been worse. You're never going to swallow a whole habit. You're always going to be half bitten into it. Because halfway through it, you're going to recognize you jerked up something wrong. That's what they call it, habit. Wow. You can do two things.
When you realize you've done it again, just take out your tongue.
Yeah. Think of it, it could be worse.
Yes.
You said two things. Sticking out your tongue is one thing.
Yeah.
What's the second?
Grin and bear it.
You're not supposed to get over habits?
You got over it by grinning and bearing it.
The fact that I admitted it to you.
Yeah. You wouldn't have known to talk of it if you didn't go through it to recognize it. But now that you talk it, you recognize it, so it's no trap for you.
Thank you.
So, must be habit.
You know what the habit is. You would sit there and talk about it. You rascal.
That was right the first time I said that in the airport. You realize that.
Biting my cuticles.
You're lucky.
I used to bite my fingernails as a little girl, and I quit that. I don't even remember how I did it, but it was such an insidious habit, and it's unconscious. Up to now, it was unconscious until after I realized I didn't. And I'd say, well, this is, it's a kind of self-destruction, isn't it? No?
It's an ATG symptom.
For yourself?
Uh-huh.
For you to give yourself attention?
Uh-huh.
What kind of attention? What do I need to do so I don't need to do that?
Last. When you bit your finger that time, you weren't laughing, you were showered up. Were you laughing?
No, it was usually tension related.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why laughter is the thing that cures it.
That would break it.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't put your hand in your mouth if you're laughing. Mm-hmm. The only time you gripped it, oh my gosh, what did I do? Right. Yeah, I know, you ran. But I laughed, so it could be worse.
I tried to think of it in terms of what do hands do? Hands are busy doing work, doing activity, and
they're rendering service.
Ah.
And service can be in terms of possessiveness or service in terms of giving. And anytime you feel trapped in your service, it's always the possessiveness more than the giving.
When you feel trapped in your service, it's possessiveness of what?
All the comes to service.
When you worry about the result, when you worry about what people will think of you and what people will do. Rather than just being willing, like I wasn't willing to confront that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been the best thing for her, even though she would have hated me at the moment.
And that's exactly like the last fencer. He didn't feel he was important for all the rest that were ahead of him. And yet, when he had to do the last battle, he was considered the best fencer the man had ever encountered. But there, in his own mind, he never felt it was what? He was greater important, though he was in many ways respected, even the man who imitated him and thought he was going to earn a real initial, but he was a real person standing right there.
Mm-hmm.
The guy running, right? But this is what most people feel. That's when the who gets trapped in there. Who-ness. And you have to learn to phase out the who for the what. And that's what that Shogun guy did. He phased out the who for the what. After the first session series of movies, into the second and the third one, you saw the what coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was a bunch of who's involved with him.
They were funny.
Up in the tree there, you know, they're looking at they're going to go be samurai.
So the who was unwilling to confront that woman, but the what would have been.
Yeah.
Because true love is willing to.
Yeah.
You see that particular illustration between Paul and Peter.
When Peter didn't think Paul was anything because he had never known Jesus?
Yeah. And the way he up there talking so eloquently when he had been with Jesus actually and knew all the things and couldn't convince nobody other than just looked upon as a mediocre fisherman. But then he turned around and his shadow fell upon the same man who asked him to heal him. And he refused to heal the man or do anything for the man. So his shadow fell on the man and the man got well. And already put Peter in his place. Peter was then realizing then it was not who Peter was, or what Peter was. That didn't come to Paul until after. Paul had to go through all his born again, charades and everything to come to the what of Paul. So then he says, I rebuke you in your rejoicing. For I live and die daily in the Lord and I want understanding. I don't want him. The gifts and the magic. And then he got the understanding. When he got the understanding, he decided to go be a tent maker. By that time, the Roman people said, who are you, fella? Who do you think you're going to be? Try and rob us from our workers and keep up our nice society going and get rid of this guy. You're a worse trip than these guys. And so, in history, the non-violent revolutionist is the biggest threat. They call them non-violent workers. Gandhi, Bourbon, all these people. Anyone of the individuals who face the violentness of the government by confronting it without any weapon, just by outright demonstration of standing up and talking. Even when the government will try to harass them, rip them into anything, they will go through it and then finally what happens? Governments are crumbling in their own strength.
I'm getting a message that I have to stop being so afraid and I have to come out of the closet, huh?
Stand up. You don't have to.
Oh boy, a part of me doesn't want to do that if I
know. You're here. And so
near you. You're not criticizing or condemning or upbraiding. You are you, and this is it. I am what I am. But you don't start off pushing it to make them swallow it. You are there till they start pushing.
So she's the one who was pushing, the one who was asking for that, right? By following me around like that. The rest of them I was right to leave alone and not confront. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was one of the weirdest workshops I've ever had.
That's all right. Now, why would it not be? Because every workshop has to be roses, some got thorns.
No, but the people who hired me looked at the evaluations and were very surprised.
No, look at it again. Go back over it and see what's the trick. You set up your frame to go with, never expecting they of other frames to react. So let's hear some of your frames and see if you can always rely on that as always going to be the point without any reaction from people.
I didn't understand your question.
You got certain things to say.
Yes.
And you don't expect to be challenged on those things. You can't do that with people.
Okay.
Whatever you have to say will be subjected to a hundred and thousands of challenges, but you have a way to answer it that puts them just so you don't panic about none of the challenges. Why? So what did the woman confront you like, say, to you? Your presentation.
She was less of an issue than a man who was there and kind of chose the role of being everybody's expert. Somebody would ask a question and he would jump in and say to me, well, what she's trying to say is, which was, there was a real ATG going on there with him throughout the day. And when he filled out his evaluation, he wrote down a big, long paragraph. And it came up, it could be anonymous, but he came up and handed it to me and asked me to read it to be sure that I understood his criticism of him. So I read it, and it was to the effect of that I should not impose my personal philosophies upon these people, at least without warning them at the beginning of the day that I was going to be talking about my personal philosophies rather than just facts and techniques. And I
said, what was it you were discussing? So we were considered personal versus factor technique.
The issue that he was taking up was what I told you the other day, that events that happen to us are neutral, and it is we who use our somics and place a value on them that makes them good or bad. And he interpreted that as me saying my personal philosophy, and it's a matter of physics. So I...
But in his point of view, where is an event positive or negative before he wakes up? Or after he falls asleep?
He's unconscious.
Then that shuts him up fast, because if you're awake, is the event positive or negative unless you make it positive or negative to your reference of consciousness? If you fall asleep, is the event positive or negative?
Mm-hmm.
You still are the person who are relating. The event is there. A car hits another car. You're awake or you're asleep. How would you react when you're asleep? How would you react when you're awake? Is the event reacting on you, mm-hmm, or are you reacting to the event? That's not your personal observation. This is a factual condition,
right,
of each human being in the room. And then so when somebody comes to say that's an imposition, then friend, when are you asleep, do you react to a car smashing up itself in front of your house? And maybe your own car being in the way, being crashed in by a truck, and merely acting as a shunt when you wake up to see the event that you could have been run over by the very crash, mm-hmm, if you didn't have your little truck or vehicle in the way of the window. Mr. Brad was here, you know, that would happen to him and his car. He's sleeping in a, just there, like that kind of a window, on a little couch there, like that. Comes this big, kind of truck that hauls garbage. Big like that, you know. And they don't know how it slipped away, and it, so it comes on the hill, heading towards that little window where he's living. And ain't gonna miss it. The only thing was in its way was his little red car parked right there. It hit it and veered and went down the valley, into the alley. But had it not hit, and it's about close to 8 or 9 tons, and that window isn't big enough to hold that no rubber tire. You coming in, but let's say only 800 pounds impact out of that 10 ton of weight. You know what happened to you and your little cut?
Okay.
Good. But that car was big enough because it weighed a few thousand pounds. It veered the impact. Well, he woke up when he heard the sound. Now, if he didn't wake up when the car didn't veer, where would he be? Crumbled up into the front wheel of the truck, right? So this is what incidents are. Incidents occur totally independent of our relationship, and they must occur.
But he wouldn't even admit that was his issue. I said to him, it sounds like you were offended or upset by something that you heard here. And he said, no, I wasn't. I completely understood. It didn't bother me at all, but I could see that these other people were upset. I was fine.
Sure. As long as you were conscious that he was honestly, what would you do? See, these are the things you shut these people up. Like the young man the other day there at the hall. They make so many mentions of all these things. What do you say? Were you sound asleep last night?
He wanted to confront me, but he did not want me to return the confrontation. Right. He wanted to try to intimidate me. That was what was...
You see, you point out, you're not intimidated by pulling the rug out from under them very fast. By saying, were you sound asleep last night? Were you sound asleep? And your mom said, did you know if you were a man or a woman? That unplugged him very fast. When you wake up this morning, will you be talking to me now? You don't give them a chance to feel you vulnerable because you don't make them vulnerable right away. Then they know, you must know a little more what goes on if you sleep awake.
Okay.
Then you always have a hunger. If you were sound asleep, why are you beating your brain every day to go to work for the piece of wood over your head to prevent the rain from giving you pneumonia? And then you say, look at everybody around now, and everybody in the same position. Who is vulnerable? Who is everybody, including you? So to say that person is more vulnerable than you, and you're really vulnerable now, friend. If you want to understand what vulnerability is.
Mm-hmm.
The facts of vulnerability is, do you know for sure, anyone in this room, who you are when you're sound asleep? If you're a man or a woman. Everybody has this experience, being totally blank out, and wake up saying, I had a good night's rest, or what?
They say pills. They had a good night pills. Backwards to me.
Yeah, it's backwards. I just don't like pills. I mean, I like the pills.
Good. Okay.
Pills.
You see, that is what the wise men for centuries have observed, that the real facts of what you are, by looking at the mechanics of the body, allow them to come through time to confront the various mentalities looking for truth of why they're in this universe, why they behave in different ways. And it's the who and the what.
Well, I'm also getting the message that it's okay for me to be stronger. I mean, I'm so aware of my Pluto
square stuff and been so careful not to overpower anybody, or because I don't want that who to do it, that have I perhaps gone too far the other way? I'd like to think I understood that, but...
So what was the conclusion of the other people's affairs?
That man, I find, he was not about to discuss it or take any responsibility. He just wanted to have that evaluation there and have it on the top of the pile and have me...
But evaluate you for what?
For the whole workshop. Mm. The people who hire me have these people fill out the evaluation form after I finish the workshop.
No, this workshop, what were the other people worried about?
The other people there? Mm-hmm. They were there to get some techniques on their stress, how to handle stress. And
they'll still be looking for techniques to handle stress?
Yeah, a lot of them wanted a Band-Aid, wanted somebody to fix them. They didn't want to do anything. It was, fix me.
We got three things. The sperm, the gut, the ovum, and the loser. Can be in this room. Stress number one, ultimate. Dead sperm. Or living sperm. Is a loser or a winner? So that shakes up their construct. No matter how they construct in their thinking, they are the facts. Which one of you in here is a loser? But if you're born, you're a winner, and then you can make yourself a loser all your life with your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple in there too, an elderly couple who'd obviously been married a lot of years, and they hated each other.
Congratulations.
Well, out of 88 people, Adano, those two, the energy coming off the two of them seemed to affect everybody in the room. People were intimidated, they didn't want to talk, and these people were almost having a fight right there all day long. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that kind of situation where two people have dominated 88?
Very simple. You folks sleep at night? No? Then continue arguing. But if you sleep at night, do you know if you're a man or a woman? Do you know if you're a man or a woman? To both of them. Now, if you don't wake up, what am I going to do with each one of you? Only the person that wakes up is going to see the other one not waking up. Mm-hmm. That's the one who's going to say, they died, Nambi. Mm-hmm. You break them. You show them their vulnerability and their frustrations all in one, because they start reflecting, am I going to wake up tomorrow morning to carry on this ridiculous conversation of harassing each other? See what I mean?
All right.
The point is that you know the structure, how it behaves, and you make them aware of that point. You knock out all their so-called charades that they play.
There's a lot of that going on.
No, congratulations, it could be worse. It could be me.
Would have been the best thing that ever happened to them if it had been you doing it.
See, that's why
I love it too.
But that's what you're going to run into all the time. You can't help that because we aren't ready to accept themselves.
Do you want a little more?
Just a trifle. Not too much.
Don't you rinse this out
and
let it dry, or you want
this? No, I'll let it go. I can understand their situation because you didn't come to impose your ideas. You came to show it in simple things, but he has to have something to argue.
He needed that ATG, didn't he?
Just a little couple need your what? They're ongoing.
That's what keeps them going, how much they hate each other. Good grief.
And then they decided to bring it to a workshop and share it with everybody.
There's not what the rose said?
The rose said? Mm-hmm. About the thorns?
Mm-hmm. And about the storm and the weather and the wind and the ice and the rain and the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Then the worm came along and said, "What are you doing here so beautiful without any leaves?" And the rose says, "Has to keep you jerks away from eating me up. I got my thorns up."
Was it Luther Burbank who grew roses and
without
talked
thorn,
to them and
right.
They didn't have thorns?
Yeah.
That's quite something. Told them that they were safe within me.
Right. He didn't say they were safe from birds or worms.
Yeah, fooled them, didn't he?
But it's all right. I look at it this way. If you take away all the hostility, it won't work because nature is a push-pull.
Oh, I understood they needed it to keep it going. What bugged me was how intimidated everyone else allowed themselves to become by these two little old people.
But that is normal.
Choosing the victim. Right? Choosing to be victims of other people?
Well, these two people, what did they do when they came in?
Mm-hmm.
What was their first reaction to your presentation of what you were presenting?
The man loved it. He told me I was a comedian and an actress, and he thought it was wonderful. She decided that because he said it was wonderful that she didn't think so. But they didn't even sit together. She sat right in front of him. So that every time he would say something, she would make a disparaging comment, criticism or gestures or
wonderful.
And everybody else just watched them and got quiet.
You could smile and say, I'm glad you can you see the thing is this, you always gotta go back with the statement. Anytime the person makes a statement, "Oh, I see you're much more aware," then you take the same thing and reverse it. You got them to think now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take your ideas that you're going to present and present them in reverse? You came to tell them how to cope with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take those ideas and tell them how to endure not being a victim of stress?
Oh, give them their choice. You handle stress or you go on your cosmic vacation, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
I talked a little bit about that. People complaining about the weather, and I said, I liked all weather because the alternative was no weather at all.
Mm-hmm.
That made all weather look pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I had the feeling I was using very simple terms, but I had the feeling I was talking over a lot of people's heads.
Well, naturally you'll be talking over their head because two things are motivating them. What's for me and I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
Don't you know that what motivates 100% of the world around us?
What's in this for me, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, once you satisfy what's for them, you don't have to worry, I don't like it. But when you don't satisfy what's for them, then they ain't gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.